you guys. It's the movie retrospective Halloween edition, because Halloween is tomorrow or 2 days from now if you're a patron and you're watching this early. So as I usually did, I had picked a bunch of Halloween adjacent movies, like old ones, to do for this. And this was the one that came out top in the poll, just beat out the original Halloween 1978 by 2 votes, which I don't think we've reviewed the original Halloween. We did Halloween 3.
Yeah, I don't think we did the original.
I don't think we have. Well, that's why I added it to the thing. But I'm kind of glad that a sort of lesser known one was picked. As much as I love Halloween, I feel like a lot of people have talked about this one, have talked about that movie, and like not a lot of people have talked about this one, which is the 1981 made-for-TV movie, The Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
I had never seen this one.
I had never seen it either. And
I liked it.
Do you know what is crazy? On our matinee review of Lost Creek, where we were talking about Halloween adjacent movies, somebody in the comments said, hey, speaking of, you know, Halloween adjacent movies, what was this old movie? I think it was made for TV and it was about this guy and he was mentally challenged and he got killed and then he comes back as a scarecrow. And I said, that's Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. And that is the one that we will be reviewing this week, coincidentally.
Yeah.
And we just watched it.
It's one about a lynch mob in a small town, go after this retarded guy, mentally retarded guy, because they think he killed this little girl. And the guy that was running the lynch mob is the same dude that played Vladimir Harkonnen out of the old Dune.
Charles Durning.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the guy who played the
Wait, no. That's not him, is it?
I think pretty sure that's him.
I don't think
pretty
that's
sure
him.
That's him. He just gained some weight for the Dune role.
Maybe. I can't remember if that
pretty
was
sure
him.
That's
I thought
him.
That was a different dude.
Might be, but I think that's the same guy. I may be wrong, but it looked like the same guy to me. The voice and everything. And then the dude that played the scarecrow slash retarded guy is the same guy who played Dr. Giggles or the bad guy from Darkman.
From Darkman, yeah. What's his name? It's Drake. I think his last name is Drake, but I can't remember what his first name is.
Yeah, I was feeling bad for the retarded guy. I was like, oh, man.
Well, you're supposed to, because he's a good dude.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man. And they really screwed him over. But he comes back as a scarecrow to get vengeance. Kind of like The Crow.
Yeah, and it's weird. I was watching like another review of this earlier by, like, I think it's called Forgotten Horror or Forgotten something. And they said the same thing. They said the story is essentially like, it's a revenge story, just like The Crow. And it's like kind of like a revenant that comes back and, like, you know, gets justice against, like, you know, an injustice.
Also kind of like High Plains Drifter.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But not a Western.
A little bit like that, too. Now, the interesting thing about this movie, which I did not know before I put it on the list. I put it on the list because, one, I was pretty sure I'd never seen it, even though I kept hearing about it, because it comes up on a lot of best TV movie lists and a lot of like underrated 80s horror lists. So, and then when I saw that Tubi had it, I said, oh, well, that's definitely one. And it's kind of, it doesn't like smack you in the face with like, that it's set at Halloween, but it is, because at one point there's like a scene at a Halloween carnival where it's like dressed up.
I didn't even know it was made for TV until you said something. It comes off as just a regular movie of the time.
Yeah, I mean, other than not being real gory, like a lot of the, you know, stuff has to be implied, obviously.
It didn't have to be gory, though.
Yeah, it didn't have to be, but I said might be the only thing that would give it away.
It's kind of like an early Stephen King movie adaptation, like Children of the Corn type of deal, but the story's better, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny because we just did Children of the Corn.
Yeah.
So we're doing all the corn.
Yeah, I think it's about that level.
Yeah, so initially, but one thing I didn't know about this was that the movie was directed by Frank DeFelitta, who I knew because he wrote the novel of Audrey Rose, and he also wrote the novella The Entity.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if he directed The Entity, but he for sure like wrote the novella that it was based on.
I never saw the Audrey Rose film, but I remember as a kid that the trailer scared the shit out of me.
I read the book and I saw the film. It is kind of creepy, the story. It's not like outright horror. It's just more like a weird, like creepy, like reincarnation story. But I really liked it. I haven't seen it in a long time, but the book was really good as well.
What'd you say the other one was? The Entity?
The Entity, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good movie.
Like
I
said,
I want to see that one again.
Yeah, I really like that movie, actually. Yeah. It's kind of hard to get hold of because it's like, it was one of the ones that's on the list that I wanted to review and it just seems like it's
That's going to be kind of a touchy subject, you know what I mean? Because it's based on a real paranormal case where a woman being raped by a ghost.
Yeah.
And I remember the movie. I saw it as a kid, you know, and there was like a lot of full-on nudity kind of rape scene type things based on what I remember. It wasn't a real body, though, I don't think.
Yeah.
Because remember, you could see invisible hands grabbing her fucking rack and shit. And remember that shit? And then the parapsychologist.
Keep it classy, Tom.
Yeah. Then the parapsychology was, the parapsychologists were trying to trap the ghost, almost kind of like Ghostbusters, or not really Ghostbusters. I guess they were, it was kind of like Poltergeist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good movie, though, from what I remember.
I remember it being good, too. Although the ending was kind of wacky, but it's like, yeah. Other than, like, it kind of went in a weird direction.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, and it had like a real, it was inspired by a real case, by a real parapsychologist. I'm trying to remember what his name was. I'm sure you wrote about it.
Yeah, I did. Now I can't remember.
It was a Poltergeist case.
Yeah, but they did a completely different thing with the fucking shit. But yeah, so all that to say that the same guy that wrote the novella, The Entity, that the movie was based on, is the same guy that directed this movie. Now, the script for this movie was actually intended to be a theatrical film, but then for whatever reason, CBS was kind of like, hey, we want that shit. So they bought it. And it was actually that they wanted it like for their Halloween, their special Halloween movie. So I guess it first, aired on CBS back in October 24th, I think it was 1981. So this is kind of like your 70s, 80s TV actor and even movie actor, like all-star cast, man. You will probably recognize every single fucking person in this. I think, I thought even the little girl, I meant to look her up and like say, but because she looked real familiar too, like she maybe did some shit when she got older, but I'm not really sure.
I thought the guy that ran the lynch mob was the same dude that did Baron Harkonnen. The same guy who played the cop out of Salem's Lot. Isn't that the same guy?
Charles Durning plays a lot of cops. He plays a mailman in this one, but he's kind of like a... vigilante mailman, I guess. Yeah. But I can't remember if that was him or not, because there's another actor, because when I'm thinking of Baron Harkonnen, I'm like, that... It could be the same dude, but I don't know if it's the same dude or not.
Because the guy who played Baron Harkonnen is the same guy who played the cop out of Salem's Lot. And it just looks like the same guy.
Yeah,
same
very
voice.
Well might
I think
be.
It's the same guy. Just earlier, when he was younger.
Yeah.
You know, and he was lighter. Because when he would play... Harkonnen, they still had him in a fat suit, but I could tell from his face that he had gained some weight, too. But I think they had him in a fat suit to make him even fatter.
Yeah, to make him look like grotesque instead of just chubby.
Yeah, and he's floating. The floating fat man.
The floating fat man.
That's what the emperor called him. Yeah. Bring in that floating fat man. That's fucking funny.
But yeah, so the story behind this one, and like I said, because it's a TV movie, like I said, they can't show a lot of gore and everything, but a lot of stuff in there is implied, and honestly... This is, like, way better than a TV movie has any right to be. I feel like 70s and 80s were kind of like the golden era of made-for-TV movies, because there was a lot of really fucking good ones that came out back then.
Well, you can make a lot of money through TV advertising at that time.
Yeah, and it was, so, like, everybody was, like, watching the same shit, so it's just kind of like, ooh, it's like the special Halloween movie, like, over on CBS, like, let's watch that.
You only had four channels.
Pretty much, I think in 84, I think, or 81, I think we only had three, and three plus PBS. And maybe we had Fox 35 by then, but I don't think so.
California
I think that
had
was a
access
bit later.
To four channels.
Yeah.
CBS, NBC, ABC, NBC. Did I already say NBC?
Yeah, you already said NBC.
NBC, ABC, CBS.
Those are the main three.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, you usually had like a local PBS affiliate, because we had that. That was Channel 24.
Thought there was another one.
And then later we got Fox 35. But that might have been mid-80s or late 80s.
Our local channel at that time was, I think it was KHTV.
Yeah.
So there was a local channel, too, that was pretty big in California. I think most people only had three channels.
Yeah.
And PBS, but California had four.
So you didn't have much, you know.
Right.
What are you going to do, read a book? No.
Right. Broadcast. that was pre-cable, all broadcast.
Yeah.
Remember that shit? Fuck.
I mean, we're
old.
I had cable in 1981 because my dad worked
at
a cable company,
but
a lot
cable.
Of people didn't.
Right.
But yeah, so this movie, it's like it just has a really great... I mean, the cinematography is like really nice. You can like tell that they actually like gave a shit about what this movie looked like, and it has this really nice color palette, really nice shot composition. It like really has that harvesty, like small town kind of. And an interesting thing too is that even though it's called Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, a lot of it is filmed during the day and it's still creepy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, okay. So
I never would have known it was made for TV movie until you said something about it. That says something to the quality.
Yeah.
Most TV movies fucking sucked.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you got, like, the, you yeah. know, the occasional good ones.
Yeah.
And I think the 70s and 80s were kind of the heyday, and, like, every now and then, like, you know, they had, like, fucking Duel and shit yeah. like that.
This is right there with Salem's Lot, which was yeah. made for TV, but that I have it on DVD. It's fucking excellent.
Yeah.
Shot real well. I'm talking about the old Salem's Lot from the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked good.
But yeah, so the story behind this, it's set in some, like, small town. They don't really, like, say what town it is. It's just some, yeah. like, rural place where, like, corn grows or whatever, and they still do, like, harvest shit. So there's this mentally challenged man who's named Bubba. It's not yeah. his real name, but that's, like, his nickname. So at the beginning, I kind of feel like they were doing, like, a Frankenstein homage, because he's, like, out in the field, and he's playing with this little girl, Mary Lee, who's, like, his best friend, because he's kind of, like, you know, childlike, so she just sees him as, like, another kid. So they're, like, singing little songs, and she's, like, making him, like, a flower lay, you know what I mean? So I kind of feel like that was very, like, Frankenstein-y, like, you know, like, where she was putting the flower lay on him, and he put it, and then, like, he was trying to give her a flower, and he smushed it, because he's... like, didn't know his own
yeah,
strength
I think
and
younger,
stuff.
The younger generations have probably never seen that movie, have no idea what that scene is. There's a scene in them, the original Frankenstein. What was that, from the 30s?
Yeah.
30, where Frankenstein, the Frankenstein's monster gets out, and he meets a little girl, and he's playing with the little girl. He's nice with to the little girl, but there's a misunderstanding. He accidentally throws a girl in the water.
And she drowns.
But she can't swim, so she drowns.
Yeah.
And that's really what started the townspeople, you know what I mean? That's what alerted them to the presence of the monster, and they fucking hunted down just to kill him over that girl. He didn't mean to kill her, though, I don't think.
Yeah, and that's
she
kind
was throwing
of...
roses in the water, and they were floating, and it looked pretty, so he decided
and
to
he
throw
thought
her,
that was cool, and he's like,
and
hey,
throw her in the water so she could float, but she drowned.
Yeah. So yeah. I kind of feel like that's what they were homaging, because they yeah. kind of set up that the two of them are friends, and then you kind of get to Charles Durning's character, who, like I said, he's not even the sheriff or nothing. He's a mailman, right? But he has decided that he is, like, the head of this vigilante posse
yeah.
of, like, these four guys. One of them's a mechanic, and one of them is, like, a farmer, and so, like, some other shit.
Yeah.
And he has just decided, I don't like that Bubba is, like, has this relationship with this little girl, but he just doesn't like the guy because
well, he thinks he's dangerous.
Mentally challenged.
Yeah, and he thinks he's gonna fucking hurt that little girl.
Yeah.
You know, he's implying something sexual is going to go down.
Well, and I will say outright that they imply in this movie that the reason that he got so head up about it was because he was a pedophile
yeah.
and was, like, had the hots for that little girl
so
himself.
So he might have been projected.
Yeah, because later on, they don't, like I said, they don't smack you in the face with it.
Yeah.
But there are a couple scenes, like one of the scenes, like, at the Halloween carnival and, you know, shit like that. And there's a scene where he talks to Bubba's mom where it's very strongly implied that he is a pedophile and that he is, like,
yeah.
interested in
it
that little
more,
girl.
Makes sense that way.
That's why he, like feels so strongly about
it. I like the fact that the other guys in the lynch mob are kind of like guys from basically just generic dudes from, like, Mayberry.
Yeah.
They don't really know what to believe. They're kind of under the influence of this dude.
Yeah, because he's, like, the main bad guy. Even
yeah.
though the other three are, like, kind of idiots for going
yeah,
along with him.
Yeah, they're just kind of like, what? You know, they're, yeah.
It's yeah, like, what he said.
Yeah, yeah. Like, straight out of Mayberry. Like, Floyd. Remember Floyd from Mayberry?
Yeah,
yeah.
They're
yeah,
kind of like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
suppose so.
But, yeah, so Charles Durning's character, whose name is Otis, Otis Hazelrig yeah. is his name. And so he's kind of like, even though he's just the mailman...
Yeah.
He's, you know, no, nothing against mailmen. It's like, I like mailmen. They bring my mail every day. But he's kind of like the leader of this little group of dudes. And he has them convinced that that Bubba is dangerous. It's implied that they beat him up on at least one prior occasion. Because one of the other guys is kind of like, oh, you know, I'll beat him up and everything. But then Otis is trying to say, like, maybe we should do something, like, more permanent, wink, wink, wink. And, like, the other guy's like, no, man, I'll beat him up, but come on, like, chill out. But then it so happens that the very same day that they have that conversation, the little girl, Mary Lee, she gets it into her little girl head that she peeks through, like, one of her neighbor's, like, fences or something, and she sees, like, all these really cool, like, a fountain and some garden gnomes and shit, and she's all excited about it. She's like, I'm gonna, like, break into this shit. And I was like, woo, that little girl's an outlaw. Check her out. Mm-hmm. So she, like, goes through this gap in the fence to look at the fountains and the gnomes and shit. But Bubba's like, no, I'm not going to, it's not my house. It's like, I'll get in trouble, because Bubba, even though he's portrayed as mentally challenged and childlike, he is very fucking aware that he can't like put a fucking hair out of line or he's going to get his ass beat, because it looks like it's happened like before. So that's another thing that they imply without really saying it outright, that he is very well aware that if he does something that even appears wrong, that he's going to get.
Yeah, he's not that dumb.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. So yeah. He's portrayed as, like, you know, simple, but he's not that fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So he knows, he's like, no, no, I can't, like, go in the backyard. I don't want to be in someone else's backyard. Yeah. So while she's in the backyard farting around, like, you know, trespassing, she gets attacked by a vicious dog. And then they cut away. And then they have a scene, which is actually kind of a very famous scene, like, of people that that like this movie and have seen this movie, of Bubba, like, taking the little girl, like, in his arms, and she's all bloody and stuff, and taking her to her mom's house and saying, Bubba didn't do it!
Yeah.
So, you don't see what happened, okay? Like, until, you don't find out what happened until later. So, you assume that, I mean, you know that Bubba is a good guy, so you know that he probably didn't do anything, but it looks bad. So the lynch mob led by Otis, he's just kind of like, waha, this is like exactly what we've been waiting for. So we're going to get a fucking, he loads up all his like fat compatriots and one of them's really fat. The other two are kind of skinny, but he's like, he puts them in the truck. They get their shotguns and pitchforks and everything like that. And like, woohoo, we're going to go like beat up a mentally challenged man. We're going to go fucking kill him. And we're heroes or whatever. So they are under the impression,
they
for whatever reason,
that he's a monster and that he needs to be institutionalized. Because, he can't just be running around. And because, you know, they don't see the danger, they're just going to kill him.
Yes.
Which is a lot. That was usually how lynch mobs were.
Well, yeah.
They were just kind of dumb dudes and in a frenzy. And they thought they were saving the community against evil. That's usually how that shit went down. And this is how it goes down, but it goes down very wrong in this shit.
It does. Well, well, that's another thing, too, is that I like that the other three guys, they were kind of like you said, under the sway of Otis, the mailman. Yeah. So they probably did think they were doing the right thing. They're like, oh my God, he killed this little girl. Because all they saw was him, like, with the bloody little girl, like, oh, and I didn't do it. And it's like, so... He convinces them to, like, what?
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's obvious the message of the movie is that mob justice, all right? You're not supposed to be out there killing people without any trial or jury or anything, you know what I mean?
Well,
that shit can go
that should not
quite
need
wrong.
To be said.
Well, self-defense is one thing, but killing some dude over something that no one saw what happened, that's very different.
Yeah, they jumped to the conclusion
that he did this shit.
And like I said, Otis the mailman, you find out later that he had a, you know, an ulterior motive because he was a pedophile. And
he was swaying the crowd.
And so he was swaying the crowd in his direction. Right. So basically what happens, Bubba like flips out because he knows that he's going to get blamed. Like I said, he's not stupid. He knows he's going to get blamed. He runs back home to his mom's house and he's like freaking out. And his mom is like, okay, well, this is what happened. Like, remember last time when all this mob came after you? Because like I said, this isn't the first time. And we played the hiding game. So then you don't really see what happens. Like, you assume he goes and hides somewhere. So then, like, the mob has all the fucking dogs and everything, and they're looking for him. And, as you can probably guess, they track him to the middle of a field where he has dressed up like a scarecrow.
Yeah, it's sad, man. He's trying to...
It's really sad. And he's just sitting there, like, trying
he's
to be,
trying
like,
to hide
really,
as a scarecrow,
really still.
And he's going, the dogs... Bubba didn't do it! Bubba didn't do it! There's dudes bearing down on him with a gun and shit, fucking, you know. And it was, like, a long, tedious scene of this guy... warming up to shoot him, and he's basically
because all you can see was his big scared eyes, like in behind
the fucking
screen.
They fucking blast his ass
21 times. Yeah. They shot him
right as soon as they get done killing him over the radio. It was the cops, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Said, okay, stand down. We got the girl. It was all just a mistake.
She's fine.
Bubba actually saved her from the dog. It was the dog that did it. And fucking,
they're like.
Yeah, pedo dude was like, oh, shit, but fuck, I gotta make this look like he attacked us. So he puts a pitchfork in his
hand. In his dead hands.
And the other dudes are like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Now they're fucking straight up cold-blooded murderers. So, yeah, It's a good setup. This is just the setup. We've just told you like the first, what, 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, 15, 20 minutes probably.
And this is kind of the impetus for the fucking vengeance. You know, he kind of comes back like the crow.
Yeah.
So you're rooting for him. You're rooting for the scarecrow.
Yeah, you're like, kill him!
Yeah. And,
because they get off.
Yeah, they get off on the, in the trial. And they did kind of show that there was, that the town, basically, most of the town didn't really go for this shit. You know what I mean? The fucking, the lawyers were like, no, you guys committed murder.
Yeah, that was the DA.
Yeah, the DA knew. And there was a lot of people in the town and his mama and shit. You know, they knew that the fucking, that the dude was killed unjustly. Although, a lot of people just didn't care.
Yeah.
Too. That was in there, too. And then the dudes that did it, the lynch mob, they were just relieved. They were laughing. Yeah,
we They're got They're like, woo, let's go to the bar. We got away with it.
Yeah, got, you know, we're, you know.
Horrifying.
We beat the charges. Yeah, they get, you know, they pay for it, though.
Well, that's kind of the cool thing, is, like, it's the setup like that, and you know that bad shit's going to happen, because the fucking movie's called Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, and also they have to take Bubba's mama out of the courtroom, and she's like, there's a higher justice than the law, like, you're going to get yours and shit, and you're just like, oh, you're going to get a whole fucking can of supernatural whoop-ass coming down on your asses.
Yeah.
So it's just, so the rest of it is, like, really good suspense, because you're just, like, waiting for, like, how each one of them is going to get it.
Yeah, and it's not gory. Kids could watch the movie, I think, kids could watch
probably I mean I assume
people, like,
a lot of people that were kids when it came out, like, watched it and said it was, like, really scary.
It is kind of spooky And the story is real good. See, this the strength of this one is the story, the setup,
and the characters.
Yeah, the characters, yeah,
because you get to know, like, over the time period, because what ends up happening, like, after they after the jackasses, like, get off at the trial, one of the farmers he's, you know, fucking around with one of his, you know, with some of his equipment or something, and he looks out into this barren, his barren field, and there's that fucking scarecrow sitting way out there in the distance, the same exact one. And he's just sitting there going, what the fuck is that doing out there? Now, at first, they think that someone's playing a trick on them. Like, somebody, he's like, nobody else was there. So, first, they think it's, like, the other dudes. Like, hey, dude, not cool, not funny. Then they think maybe it's the DA. Then they think of, like, you know, so they don't really, like, cotton to the fact that it's, like, a supernatural shit until much later, because you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
I would say production quality-wise, you're talking about on par with, like, Salem's Lot, Children of the Corn, about like that. The acting, I think, is a little bit better.
Yeah.
I like
the acting's really good in this,
actually. I like the story. This right here, this movie, you could watch it as is. It does have a certain, have that retro tone, and it's like a good retro. There's shitty retro that's good too, but and then there's, but then it's just so shitty, it's so unwatchable. This has actually got a real good retro tone, but you could remake this movie. This one would, you could remake this now, as long as the story was the same.
Yeah,
and the acting was just as good. You could reshoot this with some CGI parts and a little bit more gore, and make it PG-13. It'd be a hit.
Because I'm telling you right now, one scene that I would have really liked,
you make it like the Crow,
there to be gore, was the one scene where that one dude, like, falls into his fucking thresher, or whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah.
But I do like that they did everything, like, by implication.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I thought it was, like, really well done the way they did that. And like I said, a lot of the first appearances of the Scarecrow are actually in the daytime. And you just, like, see the Scarecrow, like, across this field. And for a long time, like, you kind of know that it's something supernatural, but it's like the characters don't.
Yeah.
So they just, like, so it's kind of the suspense is, like, so. And then at first, like, when the guys start getting picked off, they are, they have, like, plausible deniability. Like, it could still be an accident.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know what I mean?
Did you notice it's kind of like Friday the 13th, with not without the same gore. Now, when Jason had a damn bag on his head?
Yeah, in the second one.
It kind of reminded me of that. But without the actual slasher gore. And I think they might have been influenced a little bit. I'm not sure if the dates, if what came out first.
Friday the 13th came out in 1980. The first one did.
Yeah.
The second 82. One came out probably the next year. In 81 right. or 82. This came out in 81.
All right. So maybe they might have been slightly influenced by one another. I don't
but
know.
But I feel like the bag on the head thing, like from the second Friday the 13th, I always thought that that was... influenced by the Phantom Killer of Texarkana from the 40s.
Yeah, probably did.
Because that's what that killer looked
like.
But
I'm saying the way the Scarecrow looked, it was kind of like having Jason running around a little bit.
It was, yeah.
And
I will say, though, that this
kind of like Jason and the Crow combined.
Yeah. Like, as far
as... He's a good guy.
As far as I know, this was the first, at least the first full-length movie that had, like, a killer Scarecrow.
Yeah.
So I feel like all the later Scarecrow movies, like, that they did... Because this wasn't a ton, but it is like a small subgenre. We're kind of inspired by this. Because the Scarecrow in this looks really creepy. You don't see him a lot, but that's good.
Yeah.
And as I said, the way they shoot it, at least until the end, the way they shoot it, it's they still have plausible deniability over whether he's really moving or whether it's like a supernatural or whether it actually is somebody like playing a trick on them or something like that. So it kind of like unfolds like slowly, like whether the shit is supernatural or not. And I will say too, that Charles Durning's character, Otis, he just couldn't fucking leave well enough alone. You know what I mean? It's like they did this horrible thing. The fucking Scarecrow starts coming after them. You know, he's going to be last because he's like the main bad guy.
Yeah,
right?
He's got to witness it all.
So, yeah. So he sees like all his friends getting like, you know, picked off in accidents, like one by one. And then finally he starts like figuring out. And he, instead of like being like, oh, man, I'm sorry or whatever, he just like compounds the fucking error by like killing even more people.
Yeah.
He just like goes off deep end.
That's good writing.
It is,
because they're trying to double and triple down on the fact that this is a bad dude.
Yeah, and he's trying to like salvage like,
and it wasn't just that one sin of fucking killing an innocent guy that he thought was guilty. I think he did think he was guilty. Then when it came back on the radio that he wasn't guilty, he's like, "Oh shit." But I think he did think he was guilty. I think he was subconsciously projecting it. Because that's the way he was.
That's what I mean. I think
that's always the case, folks. You know the deal. They are guilty of what they accuse you of most of the time.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I thought was really good about this, is there was so much of it was done by implication. Yeah. Like I said, they don't even come right out and say, oh, the dude's a pedophile. I think it's just basically, there's one scene with him like kind of talking to the little girl at the carnival, and I think Bubba's mom like says something to him about like, I've seen you looking at that girl or something like that. But it's just like two really quick lines, so they don't like put it in your face, but then you understand why he was so like head up to go after Bubba.
He wanted to crack that little girl. He figured fucking the other guy did.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, so he was a terrible person. So he was like just, but he, so he was assuming everyone else was as terrible as he is.
Yeah.
Which a lot of terrible people
do. That's the way they are. Yeah. Just get involved with them church communities. They're always accusing you of the sins that they're doing.
That's what I mean. Well, that's what I said. It's a way of like assuaging like blame. Yeah. It's like putting it over there. You know
Put
what I mean?
Put that blame over there, and then they'll never suspect.
And like
me.
I said, shitty people tend to think everyone else is shitty as well. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. But I think that was kind of cool that kind of like made this a richer experience. And like you said, I like the way that as it went on, and he started like panicking and maybe figuring out that. I don't think he believed it was supernatural until the very, very end, like when he was getting his comeuppance.
Yeah.
But, because I think he kind of went from, oh, it's the DA doing it, to he thought the little girl was doing it, which I don't know how a little girl could have pulled off all that shit, but okay. But he thought that it was that, but then finally he, like, came to the realization. But I like that he was, like, so desperate to, like, hang on to his life and his, you know, evilness or whatever, that he just kept compounding, like, the original thing that he had done. Like he ends up killing like a couple other people as well, just to keep shit under wraps, you know what I mean.
It's a good little movie. It's good, like I said, it's on the back of the story, by the strength of the story itself, the writing, it's good.
And it's
movie.
Got a great atmosphere, a great score. It's not, like I said, it's not like Halloween in your face. It's Halloween adjacent. It does take place around Halloween because there is a scene where they talk about the Halloween carnival, and then later they go to the Halloween carnival and like the people are like dancing in the most horrifying, awkward way possible.
Like I said, I'd like to see a remake of it set in this period, not in today's period, but in the period.
In the early 1980s.
In the early 1980s and everything, yeah.
It'd make that would actually be something to see.
Yeah.
Because you don't see a lot of, I can't really think of a lot of Scarecrow movies. No. I mean, other than, like, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark had a little bit of a Scarecrow story in it, but that was just like an anthology.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. They don't make a lot of Scarecrow type of movies. Scarecrows are scary.
I'd kind of do it a little bit like The Crow, but keep all the characters the same. Shoot it with a little bit more action and a little bit gore in the death scenes, and man, this would make a good movie again.
Yeah, I mean, they could really, like I said, they could go to town on some of the ways the dudes died in this one.
And as long as you had the right guy playing the Scarecrow, you could turn this into a fucking real cool character.
Yeah, you could sell make a bunch whole of merch franchise. Off
of it. You could do a whole franchise on the back of this.
Maybe if I
you'd
had
have
one.
To make him, you'd have to make him endearing but scary at the same time, kind of heroic, supernatural, like The Crow.
Yeah. Like, because he's like essentially like a revenant, because he's a good guy.
Yeah.
He's just justice wasn't done, so he's like, well, I got to come back and do it.
Yeah.
Because y'all fucked it up.
He's got to be mentally slow when he dies, but when he comes back, he's not mentally slow anymore, but he kind of seems like he is, but he's actually pretty smart.
Tom's like writing the whole script for
the thinking of what the character's like.
I could see this
because
being,
when his soul comes back. He's fully functioning.
He's like the best version of himself.
Yeah, but he still has to have the appearance of being mentally retarded.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's his character. And that's what the living knew him as. But he's not when he comes back.
And that's kind of what put a target on his back, too, to start with. Because like I said, he got his ass beat by the townsfolk lots of times, they implied. But yeah, so if you want to see a Halloween-adjacent movie, really good made-for-TV movie from the early 80s, and if you're into that, because I really like made-for-TV movies from that era, and I'm actually shocked I had never seen this one, check out Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. It is free on Tubi right now, so you can go watch it on Halloween and have a good time. And that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We will see you on the next one. Bye.